Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome again to What'd You Think? We're so glad you could join us again. This time we are going to be discussing gravity. Now, I know that it's become a really big hit, and I'm really, really happy about that. And joining me today is Connie O'Rourke, all the way from San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Connie.
Hello, hello from San Antonio, Texas.
And of course, my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Bobby Blakey, who I couldn't do this at all without. So.
And I have a lot of experience with gravity. I fall down a lot.
Okay.
So we're going to hop right into it. And Connie, your company, so you're going to go first. Oh,
okay.
And as always, I almost forgot. Spoilers, 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 spoilers. We're going to talk about everything that we saw. If you haven't seen the movie, turn this off. Get in the car, go see the movie, come back, and turn this back on again. Got it?
Good. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that.
Good. Okay. Connie, how do you think this compared to the previews, what you were expecting to see versus what you saw?
Actually, I'll tell you, when I was watching the previews, it seemed to me like they were on every 30 minutes on TV, and it looked very fakey to me. So I was prepared to not like the movie, to not even want to go see it.
Oh.
Well, my son, as you know, is a huge Sandra Bullock fan. He's in love with her, and he happened to be here this weekend, and being in the movie industry, sort of, kind of, he got some tickets and said, let's go see this, and I said, okay, let's. So I was very surprised that I liked it as much as I did.
Well, cool, cool.
Very surprised.
Bobby, how do you think it compared to the trailers?
On one level, I was kind of with her. I was so tired of the trailers for this movie that I wanted the movie just to come out. But on the flip side, I was actually extremely surprised because the movie tells you everything, but it tells you, the trailer tells you everything, but nothing kind of all at once, because there's so much stuff that kind of goes on that the trailer doesn't really tell you what you're going in to expect. You know there's going to be an incident, but you don't really know how they're going to make this last for an entire movie without boring you. You know, so I was pleasantly surprised and really shocked at how much I enjoyed it.
I agree with you. When I saw the movie, I wanted to go see it because it's real space versus monsters in space. Space or aliens in space or fill in the blank in space. And so I absolutely felt obligated to see it because I'm such a NASA nerd. But I was really kind of concerned that it was going to be, you know, Major Tom or Mrs. Major Tom or whatever up there floating around while angry people got on the phone and communicated angrily on the ground about who's going to go up there and save her. But I went to go see it anyway. And to my delight, it was totally not that at all. The whole thing, you heard communication from the ground, but not one single scene is actually from the planet. And that delighted me to no end.
And you get to look at George Clooney.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's,
that's why
we all know the truth about that. You know, we're never going to leave that side of it alone.
That's the price of a ticket right there.
Just see George Clooney's head floating around in space. What are you going to get?
Connie, what were some of your favorite parts of it?
Oh, my goodness. Let me think.
Except for George Clooney's head.
Yes.
Right,
uh-huh.
Of course. That was my favorite part.
Well, you know, I don't know a lot about the space station and things like that. I'd like to interject, take my children on a NASA tour like 15 years ago. But I don't remember much about it. But I always have found it interesting when they describe how things really work, you know, how they really get in and out of the stations and the way they transport each other and things like that. And I one of the things that I did read last night, as a matter of fact, that somebody from NASA thought and said that it stayed pretty true to how they would really, how things really work. I thought that was very interesting. And then my other favorite part, or something that surprised me, and I'm probably telling you how fairy tale minded I am, when he shows back up, when he makes his way back to the space station, I really bought into that. And I didn't realize until, you know, like a second before it happened that she was just dreaming it. So that kind of surprised me. I thought that was a neat surprise. And then, of course, in the end, that she actually makes it home. I wasn't sure she was going to make it home.
Yeah. I agree with that. I liked the fact that I honestly didn't know if she was going to make it home or not.
Yeah,
I love to not be able to predict the end of a movie.
Right. Me too. Me too.
What were some of your highlights, Bobby?
Mine was pretty much my biggest thing I loved about this movie is attention to detail. You know, they bypassed, you know, they took a big risk of doing the whole no sound in space like it's supposed to be, because, you know, Hollywood likes to make sound in space so it's more exciting and more riveting and explosions and this stuff. But it's all stuff you wouldn't actually hear in space. And I was actually, ironically, before we got on here, was just watching a featurette thing about how they did the sound mixing and did use the echoes and vibrations to make it sound like it would potentially sound in space from really more the echoes. But I think one of my favorite things about the whole movie is the ending, that they even paid attention to the fact that she would be so heavy from being without gravity trying to stand up that she would be struggling.
Yeah.
You know, I really love that moment, because it's one of those little details that most people, I'm not saying people are stupid, but most people wouldn't think about it. They would just say, she gets up, oh, she survived. You know, they don't realize, you know, that's why they have to go into the, whatever the decaminations or whatever they're called when they get back. They have to get used to gravity again and then get their body kind of back readjusted. Now, I will say that I was going to become irritated. Like, I was speaking in the part when he shows back up, I was actually pissed off at that scene. I'm like, I was saying this scene better be a dream or I'm going to be pissed, because when he had opened that thing, it would have killed her instantly.
Right.
And I was like, if he lives, I'm leaving. This movie has just ruined everything I've seen up until this point. But I was like, it's got to be a dream.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I was like, it's got to be a dream. What I thought they were going to do is, you know, they show her like kind of go to an angle, throw her arm over her face, and it cuts back to him opening the door. I thought it was going to initially cut back, and she was going to have gotten her helmet on just in time.
Oh,
you know, and then maybe be an argument. And then when she didn't have it, I'm like, son of a bitch. This movie is just ruined the whole thing I've been watching.
Well, no, I thought when he did that, that was going to pan back over to her, and she was just going to be toast. And he wouldn't have, he'd be sitting there talking like 3 minutes before he realized that
that would have been a cooler twist, and suddenly Clooney comes back and is like, this is my movie, bitch. basically killed her so he can have the rest of the film for himself. This is my Oscar, not yours.
That would have been a good idea, a very good idea.
I'm rewriting this movie.
I did think that him coming back was a brilliant way to go into her subconscious, where her, you know, she turned off the oxygen, and of course, you know, they're sitting there talking, and first off, yeah, you're pissed off that he showed up in the first place, but you're also going, you know, she turned the oxygen off.
That's true.
You're suffocating, you know. Turn the O2 back on.
I've read too many storybooks. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, at that point, she was just high. she's losing it. What's up? You want to get in here with me?
But I do think it made for a great, great dream, a great way for her subconscious to rally and, you know, try to get her to snap out of it and try pushing all the buttons before we gave up.
Well, it was one of those things. It was like, it was a very important moment after I was over my pissed off factor and realized, okay, they did it the right way. But it was very important, because one of the things I love too about this film was the fact that besides the fact that, you know, you've got the beautiful visuals and, you know, and the simplistic story that's on the surface, but you really have that journey that it's not just her struggling for life in space, it's her struggling for life on Earth as well, and it's making her learn to fight and survive, and he was the one who was always helping her, and now he's going to save her again. It kind of has become her conscience to make her live again, period, not just up there.
Right.
The only thing that I had a problem with is once they were, he was stretched out and she was tangled up in the ropes. But once they stopped that momentum, I would have thought that he wasn't pulling on her anymore. Cause I didn't think that, I thought that once she would have stopped him, the force wouldn't still be pulling him out. In fact, that jerk may actually start sending him closer to her. I'm not a physicist, but I didn't think that he was endangering her.
You told me you were a physicist.
Well, I lied.
You told me she had a PhD.
I really needed that grant money.
Well, if you watch really closely in that scene, there's a little puff cloud that comes out of his boot, and I think he had gas, and he shot her away because he had had Mexican food or something the night before.
Oh, that was nice.
So you thought I had something really to say, didn't you? And I built this whole thing up. You think it's going to be, oh, did I miss it? It was a fart cloud.
That's what I was thinking, too. I missed that part.
Well, I got nothing on that.
I'm telling you, anytime there's a flaw in a film, add a fart cloud, it'll fix it all.
Well, I just didn't think he and his fart cloud had to die. That's all. I thought that, you know, once they stopped him moving out, they could easily reel both of them back in. But then, I guess
I was really surprised they killed him off so early in the movie too. I wouldn't have been surprised if somebody had died, but later, I was surprised that he exited so soon. But she carried the story well, I think, by herself.
I was actually kind of surprised with her performance. Not that I think she's a bad actress. You know, I know, you know, she won the Oscar for The Blind Side, and you know, rightly so. But for the most part, she's known for these kind of quirky, goofy, romantic comedies and things. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to take away her ability, because obviously she can act. But I thought it was her best performance to date, and it was one of those that was really outside of what she's normally doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to me, it actually, you know, I would have never thought about her as, per se, a great actress, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I put her as a really good one that does some fun movies and, you know, then kind of a throwaway actress. For this one, I'd like...
She pulled off Scientist Who Was Freaking Out.
Well, yeah, you know, she was able to get in there and pull, you know, this is her Castaway and be able to carry a movie by herself and give you all the emotions and everything along with it that I just didn't expect from her, you know, which...
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you just don't expect Sandra Bullock in this kind of a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have we seen her in space? You know.
True. Have you ever seen the movie Crash with her in it?
I have.
That movie blew me away.
Yeah.
I was very shocked at her character there. She was not a sweetie pie in that one either. That one really blew me away.
Right, and she clearly has always had... I mean, she even did that, was it 28 Days Later, where she was an alcoholic years ago, and... You know, she's got a lot of ones like that, but that's not what she's known for.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really think of her like that, you know. And now that she's got the Oscar, people start giving them all this credit, but they kind of sometimes forget what they did before. You know, nobody. It's like George Clooney. He's George Clooney now. Nobody thinks of him when he was on Facts of Life. I think this is the movie that'll start getting her more than just the Academy and the recognition. I think more the average Joe that watches the movie will stop thinking of her as just all about Steve and whatever that Miss Congeniality movie and things like that. And I think it's going to, mm-hmm. hopefully this will push her in a direction of taking some bigger roles like this and not feeling like she always has to go back to this. Unless that's just what she enjoys, which is fine too.
Well, I think she did really well, and I think the pacing of this movie, I was kind of worried that we were going to sit there and tread water for too long or God forbid have some sort of flashback to her childhood running across, you know, some wheat field. And we didn't have any of that. It kept moving and it kept going step by step, and I in fact, and this says something about me, absolutely loved the fact that, you know, she'd finally get to the next space station over, and it's supposed to be her salvation, and she opens the front door, and it's just torn to shit inside.
Right.
It seemed like almost everything was like a metaphor of her life at that point. You know, it was like her life was in shambles, so everything she did or tried to move forward to just steadily got worse, you know, until she finally decided to get off her ass and say, you know what, I'm not giving up, I'm going to push through. You know, that moment at the end when she's like, I'm either going to make it or I'm not, you know. You know, you can tell she's let go and she's going to stop worrying about it. She's just going to let it happen, and that's when things went right, finally.
Yeah, she finally goes from one torn up, messed up space station to the other. She finally gets into the escape thing and it's out of gas, and she's like, okay, fine.
It's like, sorry, my life.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, one thing, too, I read, and this isn't really related to this. I mean, it's related to the movie, but I read that, you know, and well, I think we'll have to wait till like the Blu-ray, but one of the deals that she's listening to when she's just listening to him, you know, she picks up the frequency somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually there's actually a short film that's the other end of the radio.
See,
yeah, that's going to be on the Blu-ray or something, that they said that you'll get to see that what happened there while they were trying to talk to her.
Oh, that's cool.
So it'll be a nice little companion thing.
When they were talking Chinese, when she was listening to the Chinese?
I don't know if it was the Chinese. It had to be within that spot, since that's really the only time I remember her having any kind of interaction. So they said it was a...
But I didn't get that. Were they actually understanding her? And because it sounded like they were just making fun of her and repeating.
I don't even think it was really registering her. From what I was kind of starting to gather, the longer it went on, is I think she was picking up some kind of a station, or she was picking up something else that had nothing to do with communicating with her, and she was just thinking they were talking back to her.
You know what I took out of it, and this is kind of maybe a stretch, is since they're singing a lullaby to the baby, maybe it's something like a baby monitor or something like that.
Think about that. That's true. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, because she talks about that baby a lot. So, but that could be her hearing what she wants to hear because of her obsession with her child that died, too. So,
yeah.
You never know.
I did read that when she was actually talking to Houston in the beginning, the voice of Houston was the same actor that played Gene Kranz in 13.
Yeah, the Ed Harris.
Oh, really?
I thought was awesome, because I was waiting for us to see Ed Harris at some point. And I was like, that's awesome. He had the easiest job in this movie. He sat in a sound booth. It's like, y'all have fun floating in space. I'm going to talk in a microphone.
Well, that was a real treat, because I'm a huge Apollo 13 fan, so that was really cool. Connie, did you have anything else you wanted to share about it?
Yeah, something I kind of noticed that I thought was kind of weird was, okay, they cut her hair. You know, she's historically always had long hair, and they really cut it short. But it wasn't floating. Her hair was flat. Even, you know, even her bangs were down. It seemed to me like her hair should be floating. And when she was reading the book and trying to read the book and turning the pages, it seemed like to me like the pages should have been floating. It should have been harder to read the book to me.
That's a good observation.
Little, those are just a couple of little details that I...
Well, she had a lot of hair.
You're right because, okay, if you're one of the three people, including me, that actually looks at the NASA channel, and you see the astronauts up there at the station, there's the one gal who has a ponytail all the time, and her ponytail is just always just up and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought that was kind of weird that they did it. However, I can't remember, is she crying? I can't remember where the tears come from, but I guess they're her tears. And they're showing how the tears form in her eyes, and they float away in little balls.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
You mentioned her hair. I don't know if it was on purpose for the story, because that's one of those things that they don't really say, but I like that she had kind of this half-ass haircut look.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, it kind of fit with her that she'd given up on life mentality, so she's
given up
on the way she looks. Because as we're watching this, someone's like, her hair looks like shit. What?
Right, and she has no makeup on either.
Well, yeah, she had to have the Snoopy hat on, though. She pulled off her Snoopy hat.
Yeah, but you can still, you know, I put the Snoopy hat thing on, take it off, my hair still going to look like I have a haircut.
It was something.
It looked like she cut in her bathroom on the run.
It was a bad haircut, and she had no makeup on, and her nails weren't done, and all those things that she normally would, like you're saying, with other characters that she's played. But, you know, she's playing this this brilliant NASA scientist, and, you know, I would say that probably a lot of people that work in that position don't really worry about their hair and their nails and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
Look, just because you're going into space does not mean you should not take time to make yourself look good.
Look good. You never know who you'll run into up there.
Yeah, you know, you want to represent our world, and you meet up with some other alien species and you look like a schlub.
You want to have a man bad, just in case you make first contact.
Exactly. You're making a whole planet look bad now.
Catherine, what is the NASA site that you're talking about? I'd like to look at that.
Oh, it's on cable television.
Woohoo!
Oh.
It's
different channels in different areas.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
That's got eight people watching.
It just televises the space station at all times, or what?
It has periods of time. It televises stuff that's going on at the space station. It also has times it televises what's going on at mission control, and then sometimes it does televises interviews with the astronauts and gives you kind of a nerd update of where they are and what they're doing, and it's neat. If you're ever...
They call it the Sci-Fi Channel.
Dial that up.
They call it the Sci-Fi Channel. They play things like Sharknado and Piranaconda.
Okay.
I think it's just called NASA.
I'll find it. Well, I didn't mean to take you off topic.
Oh, no, no.
We're still on topic because this is NASA film, so you're doing a fine job. Don't you worry about it.
Thank you very much.
We like to ramble here.
Well,
and it's keeping me from going into dark directions that I like to head into. So, see, you're helping out.
Well, speaking of which, take it away, Bobby.
Well, right now I got nothing.
Oh, my.
I've lost it all in the dark regions of space.
Well, as far as nitpicking, I'm sure there's a lot of little things that aren't completely 100% accurate.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure there's the NASA people who saw it just were twitching and itching the whole time. But I saw it as, it's a movie. And so you have to take some liberties with the movie for one thing, to keep the storyline moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe the hatches were supposed to be locked, you know, just in case somebody, you know, is crawling around on the outside and you don't want them in. I don't know if they have, you know, security on the hatches or anything like that, but
anybody could just go up to it and open it.
Yeah.
You know, they just turned that little thing and they went.
Well, what they do is they anticipate, because everything's manual on those things, they really they go into the normal rule of thumb that criminals are lazy. And they're not going to want to do them. If you can't hit a button and open, they're going to be like, damn it. Go over to the next one. You know, they don't think they're going to be like, if I got to turn this, I could have got a job if I'm going to do this, you know.
You know, one thing that it surprised me, too, is that the movie went very fast, I thought.
Well, it actually is very short. It only runs like 90 minutes.
Right. But still, I thought that at the time, just the 90 minutes just flew by to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Quickly.
Yeah, I think it was the perfect length. If it would have been longer, I would have started to get tired of it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I was really concerned going into that, because that movie looked like it was going to be this epic 5-hour you know, situation with these people, and I'm like, I have a feeling this movie's going to be really cool for about an hour, and then I'm going to be done with this crap. So I was really glad to hear when they did tell us that it was only 90 minutes, especially, you know, my wife had gone, and there's moments where if you get motion sickness, that it will give you a little bit of motion sickness, and dealing with long aspects of spinning in a circle and running directions, there's a reason rides only last for a few minutes, you know.
Right.
Well, didn't they make it, and this is just, I suspect, a 90-minute show because they're wanting to have it 3D?
I don't know. I honestly don't know why they did it that way. I mean, I just know that, you know, I think it was whatever they did it for. I think it's a brilliant choice, because I think if they had tried to stretch it out, like you said, it would have worn out fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have lost, all the greatness to the film would have been lost, and people would have been like, another Dances with Wolves. It's like, this movie's an hour and a half too long.
Well, I know that when they made Apollo 13 retroactively a 3D film, one, that was a bad idea, and two, they had to carve it down to, I believe, 90 minutes or something like that, because of the size of something technical about the film itself, that it had to be shorter. So with Apollo 13, they carved out a lot of the storyline of the stuff that was happening back at the house, which, in my opinion, was a bad idea. But so I'm wondering if this film is made with 3D in mind, and they just made it 90 minutes long for that reason. We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
Let me call Alfonso, and we'll chat about it.
That's right. Maybe one of our listeners will clue us in as to what the deal is.
I can make some shit up if you want.
Oh, dude.
I can do that too, actually.
Let's just edit it up, and we'll make up a bunch of random pods. Yeah, I saw an interview, and I saw this, what everybody else seems to do. They all say they saw some interview that nobody could ever find.
Well, Connie, how many stars would you give this, and would you recommend it to a friend?
Yes, I would recommend it to a friend. How many number stars can you have from?
You have 5 maximum.
Oh, I was going to give you 715, but sorry.
Oh.
I'll give it 5. And yes, I did recommend it to several people today when I was at work. Something I would like to bring up is that I liked the ending. When I was leaving, when we were walking out of the theater, the people in front of us, and then later in the line as you're walking out of the building, people were saying, oh, I wish I knew where she landed. You know, where did she land? But I kind of liked that. You know, we didn't know where she landed. I really liked that.
I agree with you because if she landed anywhere where there was a population, that was the beginning of a whole nother story to tell.
Exactly.
What movie were they watching where the biggest concern after sitting through that where was she? Where she was at? She was just in space for an hour and a half. And your concern is she's in Cleveland?
That didn't even dawn on me, but I just thought, well, no, I like it. I like the fact that we didn't know where she landed. I thought that was neat.
Now, the radio chatter that we heard was in English. Am I mistaken? Were they saying, identify yourself, something to that effect?
I don't remember now.
And they said that the rescue or helicopters were on the way.
Now that's something David brought up, that he was saying that it seemed to him that the very moment that the United States and everybody would have really been watching this thing falling and would have been right on top of it, you know, when she got out and there were no helicopters or jets or something that would normally be, you know, they say that they're patrolling our borders and our skies every minute of the day, and they know, you know, what's flying around. David brought that up, that how come they didn't show up, you know, the minute she opened the hatch, there they were.
Well, there's actually precedent for that, though, because during the Apollo and the Gemini programs, stuff like that, they could estimate where they were going to land.
Right.
And they had ships out there. But the pods didn't always land exactly where they estimated, and so sometimes they had to wait a little while for the ships to show up.
Plus, she's bouncing through like 30 different pods throughout the film, so when he's communicating over the radio, because I kind of thought about that at first too, but when they communicate over the radio, he's like, we have located where you're at, we'll be there, your rescuing coming, whatever. Because, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, they're set for a certain area that, like you were saying, that it's anticipated to land, but she wasn't in that shuttle. She was in something completely different.
True.
You know, so they're going to have to not only figure out where she's at, and, you know, in her communication stuff, by the time she was coming down, they probably didn't even get it until she was already through the atmosphere.
Right.
With all the problems they were having. So, plus, I think if they had opened it with all the people there and stuff, I think that would have lost that whole moment of her, you know, that struggling to stand, and it was almost like a discovery of Earth moment.
Right.
Exactly.
It made it way cooler.
When she clutches a piece of Earth in her hand.
Yeah.
I think that was very symbolic.
Yeah,
it was. I agree with that. I agree.
I'm surprised she didn't kiss it. You know, kiss the Earth.
Well, Bobby, how many, what's the name of your space fella?
my website?
Yeah. So your little character.
His name is Doug. He's a gorilla, and he rates everything in bananas.
Okay.
But in this case, I actually would give it 5. I loved it. I thought it was easily one of my favorite films this year, if not in a long time. And I highly recommend anybody. I'm not a big supporter of 3D or IMAX or anything else, but if you can, I highly recommend seeing it, not only in the theater, but seeing it on the IMAX 3D, because, I mean, it gave it that much more of an epic feel, and makes you know, the screen is so huge, you just felt like you were in space with it.
Oh, wow.
So the extra
bucks for the 3D is worth it.
Yeah, and I honestly think with this one film, the extra money for IMAX is worth it as well.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David said that today. It would have been a really cool movie to see at the IMAX.
Yeah, we saw it in 2D, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I think I would like to see it in 3D before it leaves the theaters. I'd definitely recommend it to a friend, and I give it 5 really beat up space stations.
too soon.
Well, Connie, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. It was
good. I'm glad you had fun, and I hope everything's well in San Antonio. And
everything's well. We're waiting for you for Thanksgiving.
I've started packing. I think I have my hotel booked.
You don't have to stay at a hotel. We have plenty of space here.
Oh no, trust me. You want me at a hotel?
Okay. Yeah, yep. Make up the extra bed, and Bobby and Drusilla can join us.
Now we're off topic. This isn't about.
Yes.
And on that note.
everybody, thanks so much for joining us talking about Gravity. And Bobby, you want to pimp your site before we log off?
Oh, I guess if I must. What was I saying? Oh, yes, my stuff. I have my webcomic that I do when I get around to it because I'm behind again trying to do stuff for Cole at laststopcomic.com. That actually fits in with this discussion because it focuses on a rest stop in space. So it's literal potty humor, as well as doing the TV movie reviews to the Dallas Examiner. And yeah, I'm on almost every facet of the Jedi Cole universe now with our You Are Here comics, Open Season, this podcast, and anything else that I'm forced to do.
All right. Well, so glad you're enjoying yourself.
It's not you. It's not you. It's all Cole. Sorry.
Okay. Well, as what you think, I am also occasionally on the United States of Geekdom and ardent supporter of the Jedi Cole universe. And it's many, many varied and entertaining things. Thanks so much for tuning in to What'd You Think, and have a great evening.